There's a group of tanks over there, and because of this bridge situation of getting the vehicles back and forth, they had no idea if they could, because of the deadly mortar fire that the Germans were throwing in, the artillery fire that they were throwing in. And every time somebody tried to get on those bridges and so forth, or on those pontoons, they were just, all hell would be to pay. But Forrest had the authority, he was given the authority by Randolph, and I think it was by the Corps, that if he had to, he could abandon all the tanks over there, and they would destroy them and just leave them there, and just to get the crews out. But as luck would have it, I think he was able to get every single one of them back across to the west side of the river, and that is about the time that the bulge started. Mm. And that's when
we moved up north.
We started going north. And it was that's when we had the traumatic time that he was talking about earlier on Christmas Eve of 1944.
On Christmas Eve, a very dear friend of ours, Dick Kern, you know, and there was DeLong.
Ray DeLong.
And
Newcomb.
And Wasilowski. They were in a Jeep riding along doing their job, and they ran over a mine, a landmine, and the landmine blew the Jeep up. And Kern was the only one to survive, but he got hurt real bad. And the other three fellows, actually, they died. And that message was relayed to me. And when I heard that, like I told you, I was very emotional and everything like that. I said, oh my God.
I mean, we ate with these guys all the time.
You know, Randolph, I think he got killed.
No, that was later.
A little later on?
It was January 9th.
Well, anyway, those three fellows three of them got killed, and Dick Kern was the only one to survive. I think he got thrown about 45, 50 feet.
Oh, yeah, he would. The only thing that saved Dick is he was sitting on the back of the Jeep.
Jeep, that's right.
And he was, where they usually have a spare tire rack. I don't know if you're familiar with the Jeep, but they have the spare tire rack on the right-hand side. And instead of on the back of it, this one sort of, or the radio or something was on the right-hand side. And Dick was sitting on that area, in that area, so that when the bomb went, he just went right out.
To be honest with you, we didn't weigh very much. At one time, believe it or not, I was 145 pounds. I won't tell you what I weigh now. And he's smaller than I am. Well, when that thing took off, he was just like flying through the air.
Yeah, it was just like a missile.
And he got hurt pretty bad. He went back, you know, to the hospital.
But there's another story connected to that, and Moore is the only one that can really tell it, but as I recall, there was something about they went off one map. They got to this field, and I think Moore's Jeep was the lead Jeep, and the map he had stopped at the field.
I know what you're going to say there.
He had gone out. Didn't they switch Jeeps or something, or did they switch people?
Well, that's where he stopped to kind of find out that there was landmines throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, but the one Jeep had already gone across this area.
By some reason, by hook or by crook, they got two of them got through. Two or three
without
Jeeps
being hit.
Without being hit. And I helped myself. They would take the bandette and go around there. And we had a piece of clothesline. Believe me, I don't think it was any longer than from here to there, crazy, pulling out, because it could be booby-trapped underneath. And here we are, pulling heads down, pulling these mines out. And Leroy was one of them that was in charge. He was a sergeant there. We'd go around, and God knows how many there was in there.
The one Jeep got through the field, and it was the second Jeep that hit the mine, was in basically the same cracks that the first Jeep went into, but apparently the first Jeep had left enough of an impression, or they went off the track just enough, that it was the second Jeep that got hit and blew up. But I can't recall if they exchanged Jeeps or whether they exchanged
I think you had said they had switched positions.
Yeah, I think there may have been a switching of positions. The one guy had the one map and he went, the switching of positions in the Jeeps, yeah. But
we have a...
I don't know. What? Oh, Tom, well, that's right. Tommy was in that. Yeah, Tommy Schnack.
That's right.
He was.
No.
He was in the other Jeep.
Tommy Schnacki was in the quarter ton with Doherty,
Raybuck,
Simmons,
Bill Simmons.
Tom Shinaki.
That's right.
That was
him. They were in the other Jeep.
And the other Jeep was Patrick, Wojak, and Wiles. And then the other one was Raybach, Keedy, and Wanamaker.
Yeah, but this was after. See, what you're reading is after.
Well, this was that, the new listing.
That was as January.
This is the new listing.
Let me ask you a question. Why do they call them quarter ton Jeeps or quarter ton trucks? That's only 500 pounds.
Well, I don't know, but that's what's 500 pounds is a quarter of a ton, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's what they call it, a quarter ton.
And is that their payload?
No, that was the weight of the unit.
The weight of the whole vehicle weighed 500 pounds?
That's what they said, their quarter ton. And it was an all-purpose vehicle. Somehow, it was named after the a cartoon character in, I believe it was Popeye the Sailor.
Uh-huh, Jeep, yeah.
Somehow they reduced the Jeep, they got rid of the J, and we always called them Peeps. P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E-P-E- all-purpose vehicle.